morning. You know what I love? Besides Jesus, you know what else I love? I love y'all too. I love the stirring of God's people. When you're gathering, we're better together than we are apart, right? I'm glad you're here this morning. I believe the Lord is glad we're here this morning. Are you ready to praise Him? You know, we had our discovery class this morning. One of the things I told them is that worship isn't really about us. Did you know that? Worship is about Him. What we're doing to Him, for Him, in response to Him. So let's have that heart as we come together this morning to worship. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank You for this group of people that You have assembled, that we call Wiley United Methodist Church. God, we are really at the very root of it, at the very heart of it. We are Your children. And we come here lifting high the name of Jesus. May not only our words and our praises please You, but our very thoughts please You. We say that name, Jesus. Jesus, Jesus. There is indeed something about that name, the name that is above every name. Jesus, send Your Holy Spirit. Stir us and change us in Jesus' name. Amen. I invite you to rise if you're able as we worship.
As we seek, let's ask our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, that we may know Him better and have just a closer walk with Him.
Just a closer walk.
Some dancing back there in the house of the Lord. All right. all right? Hey, that's a good thing. This morning, let's put our hands together. Pray for the joy of the Lord to fill our hearts this morning as we sing, as we dance, as we shout, shouts of praise to bring glory and honor to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Maybe seated, and then children, y'all come on forward this morning for your children's message.
That's it. We're coming. No. Luke needs to be up front here.
Yeah,
no. Okay. We have some who have agreed to speak to you this morning. Now the rest just form up here. All right. All right. Well, good morning. I'm so glad to see all of you. This morning I want to tell you about an event that happened Friday to Saturday. These kids, they all went to a conference. It was all about Jesus. It's called Superstar, and it was made specifically for their age. And I thought they'd tell you a little bit about it. About the keys. The event was called Unlock, so it was about escape rooms. And we had to do a lot of puzzles to figure things out. And we started with this key and our book, and it had puzzles in it we had to do. Now, it started with this key, and we ended with a gold key. How did that happen?
So we had to figure out how, there was this puzzle on it that asked us, a question, how were we able to get the key? And then, the answer was that Jesus saved us. Jesus saved us from our sins.
Right. Now, once one person figured out the puzzle and that it was Jesus saves, what happened?
They spreaded it to others.
So, the first person who figures out the puzzle lets everyone else know the puzzle so that everyone can go and get the gold key, right? And it was pointed out that's exactly what we should do when there is good news to be told. We get excited about it, and we share about it. And so that's good. Now, once we had keys, Luke is going to tell you about the best puzzle that we solved there at the very end. Yep, all the way. There it is. All right, tell about this last puzzle we solved.
So, sin equaled man. Sin against God, and he sinned. God sent. God saved man by sending Jesus.
And then the third word.
He sent.
He sends us out to talk about
Jesus.
Very good.
So yes, they had three: sin, save, and sent. And each one had a different picture, and it tells the story of how we go out and we tell others about the good news. It was definitely focused on that the Gospels are about the good news. So what would you say was your favorite part, or the part that you liked the most?
Learning more about God and the Gospel.
Very good. How would you say that helps you in your relationship with Jesus?
It helps me because then I get to know him better and learn more about him.
Very good. So these kids had a very good 2 days, and they wanted to share that with you. Thank you very much. All right, let's bow our heads and we'll pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for these children and sending them off to learn more about you, Lord. May each of these children open their hearts and just love you more. May each of these children make you their own personal Savior, Lord. This I pray in your most holy name. Amen.
Well, good morning again. So a couple of things. There's some announcements in your bulletin that you can kind of highlight there. I want to go over a couple of them. So for Palm Sunday, which is coming up in 2 weeks, right? 2 weeks from today. Palm Sunday, we'll have no Sunday school, but we'll have breakfast and an egg hunt between the two services at 9:45. And then the next Sunday is Easter, and there won't be any Sunday school that Sunday either, and we'll have breakfast in between those two Sundays, between those two services. So hope that you will join us for that. The Wednesday before Good Friday and Good Friday, we will have a Living Last Supper. So come and see some of our members portray the Living Last Supper. That's always a really special service. So I hope you will be a part of that. It's a great all of these things are a great opportunity to invite friends. So hope that you will do that. If you are here or online, I want to welcome our live stream audience as well. Glad that you guys, audience is not really a good word. Our live stream worshipers is probably more appropriate. So if you are here or if you live stream, we would love for you to register your attendance with us through the app. So if you will stand, if you are able, as we recite the Apostles' Creed together. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead, he ascended into heaven, and sitteth at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Universal Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated. If you'll go to the Lord in prayer. Father, as we just proclaimed in music, you are good. We thank you for your love. We thank you, Lord, that we don't have to clean ourselves up and try to earn your love, that you sent Jesus to reconcile us to you. And by grace, through faith, we are saved. We thank you as we enter into this season that we're already in, this season of Lent, this preparation. Father, preparing our hearts to celebrate an empty tomb, and to remember and anticipate that Jesus, you have always been good for your promises, and you promise that you will come again. And Lord, I'm just kind of reminded that you had promised to send the Messiah, Jesus. You had promised that, Lord, long before it happened, and you caught people off guard. Father, I believe that's the way it will be again. So prepare our hearts. May we be prepared and ready for you. Lord, we thank you that your love is complete. There's nothing lacking. That you make us whole. Your love is complete. It is best, and you loved us first. May we love you. May we love on your behalf. May we love people on your behalf. God, as we've talked about so many times as a church, may we love God. May we love people. May we offer Christ. May that be in our DNA. May that be who we are. Show us how to be that bride, that body. Lord, keep our hearts right. Keep our focus on you. I thank you for these young people that, got to go to Superstart this past weekend. Thank you for bringing them home safely, and I thank you for the seeds that were planted in them. Father, may they be watered, may they be nurtured, may they grow fully and completely. So Lord, I lift up our children and our youth of this church, God, that something deep and significant continue to happen in them. Draw them unto yourself. Jesus, you said, let the little children come to me. And so we pray that. And you said, because it's such as these that belong the kingdom, may our hearts be as a little child. Bless us, O God, and may we honor you with how we conduct ourselves, God, and what, even the things we think about. May we be, as you have said in Scripture, may we be and become a spotless bride. We pray for those who experienced loss from these fires and tornadoes. God, draw near to them. You are the God of all comfort, and you're the Prince of Peace. You're the God of provision. Lord, we love you, and we pray now the prayer that your Son Jesus taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. A couple of things as we continue to worship. Our offering is here on the altar rail. You can also give online. At the end of the service, I want to welcome our guests. At the end of the service, I will be out in the foyer and would love to meet you if you are our guest this morning. I pray that you feel the love of Christ. As we continue to worship, rise if you're able.
go before us. Nothing can stand against the power of our God. You shine in the shadows. You win every battle. Nothing can stand against the power of our God. No mighty force. You go before.
And I put the song, You Are Good, and this next song, King of My Heart, where we proclaim the goodness of God. And normally I wouldn't have put those two songs together in the same set, but as we talk about prayer, we understand that God is so good. And the Bible says, taste and see that the Lord is good. And prayer is our delight. It's the highest form of joy and life we can experience in this world. And I remember as a kid, my dad would say, Cody, go take the trash out. And I would say, do I have to? And every time he would say, you get to. And man, I hated it back then, right? But I think sometimes we see religion and we see prayer and we see worship in that way that we have to do it. We have to get ourselves up. We have to come to church. But our Father's telling us, you get to experience the living God this morning. He's here with open arms. He's ready for you. He's waiting. Church, we get to experience Him. Taste and see that the Lord is good.
Good morning. Good to see you all this morning. Once again, good to have you worshipers join us online. Let's pray. Holy Spirit, you are so welcome here. Nothing of any consequence happens without your involvement. And Lord, I just pray that he moves in such a way that our hearts are changed, that we're different than when we were when we come in this place this morning. Open our ears this morning, Holy Spirit, to what the Father would have to say to us. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I am preaching on prayer. Jeff preached last week. He gave you guys the warning that I was preaching this week. I see that a lot of people didn't show up, but that's okay. I'll get over that. My charge is a little bit different today. I'm going to do just a little bit of teaching on prayer and then talk about our prayer ministry that we have at Wiley Methodist Church and talk about opportunities that our congregation has to pray. I told the early service, I've got this thing stuck right there. And I just want to hawk it up and just get rid of it, but I just can't get it done. So if something comes shooting out of my mouth, I apologize. Y'all pray for me that it's not a distraction. Like I said, Jeff preached last week on prayer, and he led us through the Lord's Prayer. What a great model for prayer. The disciples asked Jesus to teach them to pray, and this is what he taught them. And a great model for us to follow. And towards the end of his sermon, he talked about an experience he had in the seminary class. Him and a group of other pastors, their seminary professor asked them a question. Is your church, the church you pastor, is it a church that prays or is it a praying church? And Jeff said there's a difference. And for me, there is a difference too. I mean, when I think about a praying church, I think of a church that prayer is front and center. It's the most important thing that they do. And a church that prays, and this is not a bad thing, a church that prays, it's just another ministry, sort of like feeding the hungry and clothing the poor. And are we a praying church? Where does prayer rank at Wiley Methodist Church? I guess a good question. Is it number one? Is it number five, number seven, number three? Where does prayer rank at Wiley Methodist Church? By the way, you have an insert. If you want to take notes, you can do that. I don't provide sermon notes. I just don't provide them. I don't know what else to say other than that. But you can take your own notes. And then on the flip side, we'll refer to that in a little bit. So if you want to jot down some scripture references, I have a lot of them today. I don't have time to read them, but I'm going to reference those. In John chapter 2, Matthew 21, excuse me, Mark 11, and Luke 19, Jesus clears the temple. It happens early in John's gospel, and I'm not sure if John didn't record things chronologically or maybe Jesus cleared the temple twice. He may have cleared it on his first visit to Jerusalem after his baptism, and he may have cleared it the week that he was crucified. But he clears the temple, and the businessmen are inside one of the important courtyards, which only Jewish people could go into, and they were exchanging money for visitors that came from out of town. They were exchanging it for their currency, I believe. And they were paying a tax to the temple. Also, maybe they were selling animals at an elevated rate. And Jesus was angry. And he takes a whip and some cords. He drives them out of the temple. Out with you. And he made a statement that really has stuck with me for a long time. Jesus said, my house shall be called a house of what? House of prayer. He said, you made it a den of robbers and thieves. Out with you. You know, it's interesting that Jesus did not say, my house shall be called a house of worship, even though worship's important. He didn't say, my house shall be called a house of preaching, even though preaching's important. He said, my house shall be called a house of prayer for all the nations. Now, we can't duplicate that first century worship experience because they had the temple. You went and you paid a tax. then you offered an animal to the Lord for forgiveness of sin or just to fellowship with him, and a priest had to assist you with that. So in our day, it's different, but the temple itself was a place where people gathered to encounter the Lord. And I believe we can use that same terminology in our day because that's what we do, right? We're a group of people who gather to encounter the Lord. So I believe Jesus wants this church to be a house of prayer. I believe he wants every church that names the name of Jesus Christ as Lord to be a house of prayer. Is Wiley Methodist Church a house of prayer? That's Jesus' desire. Now, grab your sermon insert. I want to go over the prayer opportunities that we have, giving people chances to pray to the Lord. Everybody find yours, say amen. If you did, this is some nuts and bolts stuff, but we need to cover it. The first thing on the list is the monthly prayer calendar. There's actually one in your bulletin this morning for the month of April, and Barbara Roberts. Barbara, are you here this morning? Maybe you're online. God bless you. Barbara takes care of this. She's been putting this together for the last 6, 7, 8 years, for a long time. And so what she does, she takes our church roster and alphabetically, she started with A, ended with Z, and she plugs in a family's name on that calendar for the month, for the year. And whosoever name is on that calendar, the rest of us need to be praying for that family. Today it's Wes and Mary Brooks and their family. They're on for today. And she just, you know, recycles that. She's been doing this for a number of years. Also, there's a particular prayer focus for the day. And I know Sundays she has us praying for the pastors. And then during the week, there's some particular prayer focus for healing, for peace, or whatever. And church, this seems like a simple thing, but to be honest, it's making a difference. Let me share a story real quickly. We have a family in our church that asked them permission, the husband permission to share this yesterday. Family in our church about 2.5 years ago, they'd gone skiing, or 2 years ago, they'd gone skiing, and one of the family members had a wreck with another skier. But they got up, everybody was fine, they exchanged information, and so they come back home. Well, that particular person that experienced that collision with his family member went back home, shared that information with their family, and someone in that family saw an opportunity to make some money and sued this family for six figures and above. And it was a stressful time for this family. They didn't know if they were going to lose their house. They didn't know if they were going to lose their cars. They didn't know what was going to happen. And so it was frivolous, and the insurance company realized that, and the liability part of their policy covered this, and they said, we're not going to pay that. That's ridiculous. That's frivolous. And so about a year goes on, and finally they reached a settlement to where it didn't cost this family anything out of pocket. And that particular day, I don't remember which day it was, guess which family was on the prayer list for that day? Right, Mark? Yeah. Impacted them deeply. Church is making a difference. It's making a difference. And think about the possibility of that happening. I mean, Barbara Roberts is putting this calendar together alphabetically, and then when someone joins the church, she plugs them in. For 6 or 7 years, she's done that, and on the very day that lawsuit is settled, this family is on the list. It's making a difference. The email prayer team, there's about 52 or 3, 4, something like that, people on our email prayer team. When we receive prayer requests that are submitted on Sunday mornings, they may be submitted to the office. I may get notified about those. We email those out to the prayer team, and they pray over those needs. And as updates become available that I know about, I will go ahead and try to provide those updates. And sometimes that's one prayer request a day. Sometimes it's 5 or 6. And so there's a lot going on behind the scenes in regard to prayer. The email prayer team prays for a lot of our needs in this church. The prayer room on Sunday mornings, there is a prayer room that's located adjacent or towards the main parking lot. If you're not familiar with where it's at, it's about halfway between the main entrance and the west end of the building by the playground. And we have someone in there for the early service and someone in there for the late service. They're praying for the Holy Spirit to move, praying for lives to be changed, praying for our pastor, praying for the worship team. Sometimes those the people that man the room, they may come in here and pray, which is absolutely fine, but we have prayer going on during those times. We have a group of 10 or 12 of us that pray on Mondays at noon. I know that time doesn't work out for a lot of people, but we gather right here, spend about an hour praying for our world, our culture, our nation, the government, the president, Congress. We pray for our state, for our city, pray for the church. And I don't know if this makes sense to anybody or not, but I think we're moving the goalpost when we get together on Mondays a little closer. I mean, we're not seeing evidence there, but I know it's not a waste of time. Our houses for healing guests. We have a ministry house that we provide free lodging for someone in Abilene that is here undergoing medical treatments. And we have a team that cleans the house cleaning team. We have a team that provides transportation if needed and also meals if needed. And we pray for that team, those three teams pray for the house guests. Right now we have a couple in the house from Stamford, Domingo and Margaret. And right after Christmas, Margaret was diagnosed with cancer. And so they removed a tumor. She had brain surgery, removed a tumor. She had a tumorous kidney. They removed that. Now she's got spots on her liver and other places, looks like, and she's going to start chemotherapy on Friday. A month and a half or so ago, they found out, Domingo found out traveling to Abilene to visit her in the hospital that their house was on fire. He turns around and goes back. They lost their house. An adult son died in the house. Just tragedy upon tragedy. And we have a incredible opportunity to love on this family in Jesus' name, and opportunities to pray for them. Pray for Domingo and Margaret. They're such precious saints of the Lord. So they're just full of joy. I just don't understand that. Pray for them. And then 3 days out of the month, we have a prayer focus on the 10th, 20th, and 30th. On the 10th, it's our day, our church's day, to pray for the community. And we're joining 27 or 28 other churches. Jeff, are we up? Missing 2 days of the month. We're 28 or so churches have chosen a day. Our day is the 10th. And we're praying around the clock for our community, for our city. And our day starts at, I'm not sure if it's the 9th or the 10th, but it's midnight, 9th, 10th, midnight, to 9th, 10th, or 10th and 11th midnight. We start praying. And 30-minute prayer slots, and we've got a couple of places we can fill. But you know what? If we had two or three people on every prayer slot, that would be awesome. You know, I've got the 4:30 to 5 p.m. time, and to be honest, a lot of days that's a hard time for me just to stop and pray. I've got my granddaughter. I'm trying to connect with a parent, and I'm just running around. And sometimes I feel like that effort's just meager at best. And man, if there were several of us praying during those slots, that would be awesome. We could get that slot covered well. On the 20th of the month, we pray for pregnancy resources, and this is done through the email prayer team, incredible ministry that helps ladies choose life for their unborn child. And then the 30th, we pray for the persecuted church through the email prayer team, praying that they will have boldness, confidence, that they won't be angry towards their persecutors. And so those are ways that we can engage the Lord in prayer. And if you want to get involved in any of those ways, please reach out to Jeff, reach out to myself, and we'll get you plugged in. We'll get you connected. You know, I shared this with the earlier service. You know, I've just been struggling in prayer the last 5 or 6 months. You know, Jeff was pretty honest about that last week himself. And It's easy for me to do other things. I don't know why prayer is so difficult for us, but you know, for me it's been difficult, and maybe one of the reasons is that I know that there's other people praying that'll take care of it. We've got some primarily ladies in our church that are intercessors. Jeff used the terminology prayer warriors last week. And you're just a weird lot. I mean, I don't know any other way to say it. I just don't understand you. And I appreciate the call. I appreciate the obedience to that. And I know that that gets weighty, and I know that gets heavy sometimes. But maybe it's weighty and heavy because I'm not stepping up and joining you in prayer. Maybe some of us, a number of us maybe are not stepping up. And to be honest, I've used that as an excuse. Okay, God, it's okay. It's covered. It's covered. I repent of that. And I ask you to forgive me for that, leaving you out there hanging. You know, I've got a little bit of teaching I need to do, I feel like. In regard to prayer and us being a house of prayer, I think there's three things that we need to acknowledge about prayer. And you may want to take notes, lots of scripture here. The first thing I think we can acknowledge is that prayer is hard. Prayer is hard. Is it not? I mean, it's easy. It's easy when we engage, but it's just kind of hard getting there. And some people, it may just be hard anyway. May be hard to understand. I want to share a couple of examples in Scripture, from Scripture. In Luke 11, Jeff shared this last week, the disciples asked Jesus to teach them how to pray. He said, teach us how to pray. Now, it's interesting that it's not recorded in Scripture. This conversation may have happened, but we don't see it recorded in Scripture where they said, Jesus, teach us how to heal the sick. You know, teach us how to cast out demons. We don't see that recorded. It could have happened, but maybe they just watched him and mimicked what Jesus did. And I know they watched him pray because he was praying right before they asked him to teach them how to pray. Lord, teach us how to pray. I think prayer is hard. In Matthew 26, Jesus was going to pray the night he was betrayed. He took Peter, James, and John with him, and they fell asleep. You guys know the story. So Jesus comes back, and he wakes them up. He said, guys, couldn't you, this is my paraphrase, by the way, guys, couldn't you keep watch with me and pray with me for just 1 hour? Couldn't you do that? And then he said, the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. The spirit is willing to pray, I'm assuming, because we're looking at that in context. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. And for me, as I processed that, as I thought through that, it's like the spirit man, the spirit woman inside of us is longing to connect with the Father through prayer. Just longing, willing to do that. Just can't wait to connect to the Father through prayer. But our flesh gets in the way. Our flesh is weak. 2 Corinthians 1:11. Paul implores the Corinthian church to help them in prayer, labor together with us in prayer, strive with us in prayer, sweat with us in prayer. It's almost like he was kind of cheering them on. Come on, come on, come on, guys, help us here. Help us get this done. In 1 Peter 4:7, Peter says, the end of all things is near. And back in the first century, apparently he thought that, or he wouldn't have said that. He says, therefore, be alert and of sober mind so that you can pray. Be sober-minded so you can pray. And as I think through that terminology, sober-minded, it's like the reason maybe we can't pray is because we're intoxicated, not with alcohol, but other thoughts that's clouding our ability to connect with the Father through prayer. You know, As I said, I've struggled with prayer. A lot of things that I do, the decisions I make, are easy decisions. You know, Carlene and I in the evenings, we kind of like to vegetate. You know, we do go walking, and she tolerates me walking with her. You know, she's fast, I'm slow. That's all there is to it. I'm convinced if we're still alive and a rapture happens, she'll beat me into glory by 15 minutes. I'm convinced of that. And you know, we have one grave that they're gonna stack us. They're gonna stack our carcasses in one grave. And my prayer is that Carlene dies first, so I'll be on top, so I'll get a little bit of head start on her when Jesus calls us up out of that grave. But you know what? When I make a decision in the evenings to sit and watch TV, that's an easy decision. It really is. We watch reruns of Psych and Monk and Andy Griffith. Carlene likes to watch cooking shows. I've watched so many spring baking challenges, I'm about to throw up, to be honest with you. And I bet I'm the only man in here that knows what a chocolate ganache is. Anybody? Any men? A pedophore? A macaroon? And does that ring a bell, men? But you know, those are easy decisions for me. And if I'm going to pray, I have to be incredibly intentional about that. I have to make that decision to pray. Prayer in its essence is simple, but it's hard to get there. That make sense, church? All right, second thing I think we need to acknowledge is that prayer is a privilege. It's not a duty. It's a privilege. It's not a duty. And there are some good scriptures about prayer, but to be honest, there's scriptures that can make us walk away feeling ashamed about our prayer life. 1 Thessalonians 5:16 says, pray without ceasing. I mean, who does that? Pray without ceasing. Colossians 4:2 says to be devoted to prayer. Be devoted to prayer. Be all in when it comes to praying. Ephesians 6:18 says, pray at all times in the Spirit. Get involved. Let the Holy Spirit help you in your prayer life. And I can read those verses and it's like, okay, I'm not praying without ceasing. I'm not all in every day, and I don't pray at all times. And golly, I don't even, where do I start, or do I even start? I'm so far behind right now. I don't know if I could ever catch up. And prayer can become just a duty, just something that we feel like we've got to get in on a daily basis. But church, prayer is not a duty. It's an incredible privilege, and it's reserved for those who are in Christ Jesus himself. 1 Peter 3:12 says, for the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous. He's on the righteous, church. He's watching us. Right now, his eyes are on us. He's watching us. And his ears are open to our prayers. It's almost like he's bending our direction, just longing. Oh, come on, just pray to me. I love it when you do that. The Spirit is so willing to connect with him on that level. Flesh is a hindrance. And it's only reserved for the righteous. The Lord's eyes are not on the unrighteous, not on the lost. It doesn't mean that he doesn't hear a prayer of a sinner that says, save me, O God. Jesus Christ, come into my life. In Hebrews 4:16 says, let us therefore approach the throne of grace with confidence, with boldness. Not arrogance, but boldness, Lord. Church, this is such an incredible privilege that we get to communicate with the very creator of the world, of us, this God that's transcendent. He's so far above us, we can't even understand who he is. And people who had an opportunity in Scripture to see him, they couldn't even describe him. What a privilege we have. And the third thing we need to cover is that prayer changes things. Prayer changes things. Do you believe that? Prayer changes things. A couple of examples in Scripture. Matthew 9:38. Well, Matthew chapter 9, Jesus is talking about the harvest. And he says, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. And as I read that verse, I think about this wheat field maybe that's 40 acres, and it's just ripe, ready to be harvested. And there's one or two or three people out there with sickles trying to knock that down so they can bundle that up and take it to the threshing floor so they can separate the wheat from the chaff. And this is what Jesus said. After he said that, the harvest is plentiful, the workers are few, he said, ask the Lord of the harvest to send workers into the harvest. Pray that God will send workers. They're needed. And I think the implication there is that if we don't pray, maybe they won't be sent. Not to the degree that God wants them involved. And I never thought about prayer being an evangelistic tool, but it is. The harvest is plentiful. The workers are few. Pray to the Lord of the harvest to send workers into the harvest. In Matthew 17, and again in Mark 9, the disciples were trying to drive a demon out of somebody, and they found out they couldn't do it. They just didn't get it done. And they had done that before, but they couldn't drive this demon out of a man. So Jesus comes and takes care of it. And he asked them later, why could we not drive it out? And Jesus said in Mark 9, this one, it's recorded in Mark 9, this one only comes out by prayer. And in Matthew 17, Matthew adds, and fasting, prayer and fasting. And, you know, Jesus took care of this man's situation, this person's situation, who was demon-possessed. But how many people missed out on deliverance because maybe a lack of prayer? Prayer changes things, church. It changes things. The last verse I want to share is James 4:2. It's recorded there that you do not have because you do not ask. You do not have because you do not ask. Now I'm going to get my good friend John Piper. Well, actually, he's not my good friend. I don't even know John Piper. He doesn't know me. To help us out by video to expound on this verse. You know, John Piper is a solid pastor. He's been at Bethlehem Baptist Church in, I believe, Minneapolis, Minnesota. I know it's in Minnesota. For 35 plus years, just a solid man of God. You know, and a lot of pastors in this last little while they haven't finished strong. They haven't finished strong. John Piper, I believe he's going to finish strong. He can be. We can trust him. Anyway, he's got some good things to say about James 4:2. And Ben, if that's queued up, let's go ahead and play that.
And it's simply staggering that God would ordain, now get this, that God, the sovereign ruler of the universe, would ordain that prayers cause things. They do. Prayers cause things to happen that would not happen if you didn't pray. I wonder if any Calvinists out there squirming. Listen to this. When James 4:2 says, you do not have because you do not ask, that does not mean you would have anyway, even if you didn't ask, because I got a plan. The verse doesn't mean the opposite of what it says. It says, you have not because you ask not. That means prayer causes things to happen that wouldn't happen if you didn't pray. This is why this is a staggeringly glorious privilege to be taken by the sovereign God of the universe who runs all things according to his infinite wisdom and folded into his causality. This is breathtaking. If you do not avail yourself of the privilege of bringing to pass events in the universe that would not take place if you didn't pray, you are acting like a colossal fool. Aren't you? I'm just thinking logically here. If you are offered the privilege of engaging with God in such a way that your request could bring into being things that would not otherwise come into being, not to avail yourself of that privilege is folly of the highest or lowest order. That's why we pray. God is beckoning us into our share in the running of the universe. Do you not know that you will judge angels? Do you know who you are, child of God?
He made a statement. God is beckoning us into our share in the running of the universe. Have you ever thought about that? You know, if we had a child with a physical ailment, and if prayer changes things, why would we not pray for that child? If we had a prodigal son, daughter, grandson, granddaughter, why would we not pray for God to bring that prodigal home? Prayer is hard. Prayer is a privilege, and prayer changes things. We had the praise team go ahead and come up. As I think about this thought about us being a house of prayer, just to be honest, church, I think we can grow in this area. I know I can. And I guess if you're going to preach on prayer, a good way to end that is to pray. Personal application. So here's what I'd like to do. I would like for us to worship and pray during this song. If you feel led to pray, the altar is open. I'll be here for if somebody wants to pray. Jeff will be available. If you need prayer for something and you see someone in the sanctuary you trust, I encourage you to go to that person and pray with that person. If the Holy Spirit prompts you to go to someone and pray for them because you know there's a need, I just encourage you to move. Yeah, we want to give God this time. We want Him to do what He wants to do. We want the Holy Spirit to have His way during this invitation time. I don't know how long this is going to go on. We may sing this song and we may be done. But if this goes on for a little bit, if you feel you need to leave, you've got an appointment somewhere, you need to go, just feel the freedom to go. Let me pray for us before we respond. Lord, I thank You, God, for the opportunity to pray. Father, who are You, or who are we that You're mindful of us? Saving our souls from a fiery hell. And not just so we can get our ticket to heaven, but that we can have a relationship with You, an intimate relationship with You. Lord, I thank You for the privilege of prayer. Challenge us. Challenge us, if we're not a house of prayer, to be a house of prayer. And use this time for Your glory. In Jesus' name. Amen. Church, just respond as you feel you need to respond.
Yeah.
Be said of Wiley Methodist Church is that's a praying church. That's a church that prays. That's a house of prayer. Lord, just continue to stir us in that direction for your glory. And bless us this day so we can be a blessing to others. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you, church. Have a great day.
Pastor Jeff Hatcher with Wiley Methodist Church in Abilene, Texas. I want to thank you for listening to this message from God's Word today. If you do not know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, He loves you and He wants to be your friend and your Savior. If that is you, I ask you to pray this prayer with me. Lord, I confess that I am a sinner. I ask you to forgive me of my sin. I ask you to come into my heart and be my Lord and my Savior. And wash me as white as snow, in Jesus' name, amen. If you prayed that prayer today for the first time, I invite you to do four things. First of all, tell someone, share this decision with someone. We are better together than we are alone. And then also, I ask you to consider being baptized. Jesus himself set the example for us by being baptized himself, and he encourages us to do the same. And then I ask you to consider finding a Bible-believing and Bible-preaching church and plug in. Again, we are better together than alone. And then finally, I ask you to get into God's Word. It's not just because it makes us a better person, but also because it is
the living Word, and God speaks to us through His Word. The Gospel of John is a great place to begin. If I can help you be of any sort of assistance through this process, you can contact me at my email address, jhatcher@wileymethodist.org. God bless you.